News Radio WJPF at 722. Congressman Mike Boss is on the line. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you, Tom?
Good, good. Congratulations.
Isn't it an interesting time to be living if we can separate our emotions from it?
It is. It is. In the Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, their point of view is that interesting times is also an opportunity as well. First off, congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
You know, every election cycle is a crucible of its own sorts. What did you learn in this cycle?
Well, one is you know, this campaign, because of COVID, is so much different. Remember, normally we do 64 parades. We got people out early, walking door to door. We're doing all that. So everything had to be virtual, and even some of those things that weren't virtual, they were handled a lot different. And so it was different on how you had to get your message out. And once again, as you're moving forward and you see social media and everything like that, people have to filter between what's truth and what's fiction. And so this election cycle was very unique in itself. It was a case where I knew the numbers in the district. I knew where our votes were, what we had to do. I knew those areas of contention and they delivered, you know. Those areas of contention delivered, and the areas that of support delivered. And because of that, we came out with, even though we don't have all of Alexander reporting, we've got 60.58% of the vote, and my opponent got 39.44%.
You know,
so that's
probably
58.15 reporting, by the way.
And that's probably a story a great many other members of the House could say from the Republican Party. There was not a forecasted wave. It appears 208-200 in the House right now. 208 for the Dems.
Well, actually, it's 208 to 200. We got 193, but by the time it comes around, so that doesn't add up to 235 yet. So. You know, there's still a lot pending out there of what can happen. There is a scenario where the Republicans could be as little as one vote behind the Democrats. And whoever is running for the majority on the Democrat, or whoever's running for leader or speaker on the Democrat side of the aisle, it's going to be a challenge. So
the election. And will we see a stimulus package afterwards? The Fed chief saying need one now, but then again, the overhang with no presidential outcome, but still
right.
People looking for the stimulus package.
It is very difficult under the positions that Nancy Pelosi and her team has taken to come back to the table when you've got a questionable who the president is going to be. So, I mean, I'm more than willing to go back. You know, you and I have talked about that, that there are 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats, or 25 Republicans, 25 Democrats on the problem solvers that had a plan that was acceptable to this administration. Nancy was the one who didn't want to accept that, even though she drug it out, said, oh, no, I'm looking at it. She wanted to make it a problem in the election. I don't think it was a problem in the election. I think it more of a problem for her. That being said, we do need to get back. We need to get it done. Now, will that happen during lame duck session? I don't know. I think this is what we see of this election is going to be in the courts for some time.
Well, let's talk about that, because just as I was coming on the air, somebody called in this morning and said, please talk to Mike Bost about this. Didn't the president, in fact, already win on Tuesday night was one of the gists here. Can Trump win? Did Trump already win?
Here's what we need to know. And that's why we have the attorneys out there and everything like that, and that's why everything's being questioned. What were the actual vote counts? What were the actual vote counts that are constitutional votes? And what are the actual voter fraud that does exist? Now, we have to make sure that whatever the final result is, that certain people may not be happy with the result, but we have to make sure that the votes that were counted legally, that they were truly voters, that the numbers were not, and that they were constitutional, so that we can move on to our next election and never question whether there's voter fraud out there and everything like that. Let me tell you that we have some states that are being challenged already, and I think if everybody's paying attention to this, you can see this. For instance, when you have a state where the governor or the administration or the election authority makes a decision without legislation just to change the date of when they will be able to receive votes, that is a violation of the Constitution. The Constitution is clear about the fact that the states do control their election authorities. However, the states control those through the state legislature, not the through the state administration. So that's what is one of the questions with one of the states. The other states, there's some question about the integrity of the ballots. Everybody's heard about the pen versus the
Sharpie.
You know, the concerns there. All of these things must be looked into, because when the power hangs in balance, you've got to make sure that you do it. But we've got to do it in a wise way. We've got to do it in a constitutional way. We have to make sure that the law is followed and the Constitution is followed. Remember, we are a constitutional republic. You've got to the voters have to remember that. We have to follow the Constitution. I don't care how you feel. I don't care if there's a plague. The Constitution sets the time and the way that our elections are to be handled. You don't change the election based on the fact that you have a pandemic. You do it still by the law and by the Constitution. That is what will finally be figured out, and then a whole lot of it is checking to see, you know, what does exist, what doesn't exist. And, you know, I'm a little bothered, too, that whenever the president said, one of the network television said, oh, the president said these areas are known for voter fraud, and that's a racist statement. No, that's a fact. You've got to quit calling everything racist. I mean, that's where we're at right now. You're calling things racist that aren't racist. They're facts. And you've got to pay attention to the law. We are a country of law, and we are a country that holds to our Constitution. Now, if you don't like the Constitution, then talk to your legislator and talk to your those people who represent you to go through the process to change the Constitution. And good luck with that. Right. Because the Constitution is a document that is held solid. We do have the ability to change it, but we don't change it on emotions. We change it on, okay, things aren't right. That's why we had to change it regarding slavery, as well we should. The women's suffrage, as well we should. And sometimes they change it to a point that they realize, okay, maybe that wasn't the right way to change it, and that would be the way we did with Prohibition. And then you change it back. But it is not an easy procedure, but it is still gives us the anchor that we need.
If I asked you today, Mike, when this will be over and we'll know who the next president, the next term is, what would you say?
Well, let me tell you that we have to have a president being ready to be sworn in on the 20th of January. Okay?
Right.
That's constitutional. The legislature will be sworn in on the 3rd. That will go on. My hope is that it will be handled in a proper way, and that the danger of our democracy is in the hands of people with emotions, and that is the scary thing. I mean, and that's what we've been fighting over the last several years. I've had members, new colleagues that go, well, I'm not going to make my vote based on fact and truth. I'm going to make my vote on how I feel.
Right.
Now, I know one said it because I listened to her say it. Okay,
yeah.
And there is a problem because emotion rules in a democracy. Think about what I said. Emotion rules in a democracy. In a constitutional republic, the anchor of the Constitution rules. That's how you keep chaos from ensuing. That's why France has had so many uprisings over the years and civil unrest and everything like that, because they govern on emotion. Their constitution is paper thin. Ours is rock solid.
Mike, we've only got just a couple of moments left. I want to talk to you about the cure money again. There was a couple of curious things. I've seen some changes here on our end on the distribution of the money. More communities, still a great many, have not asked. The governor sent out a press release last week saying cure money was being redirected away from municipalities and counties to universities. I don't think that was its original intent.
Our office is watching closely, and more than that, the administration is watching closely. But remember that when we gave it to the states, and I argued the problem with states like ours, when we gave it to the states, my colleagues who were from states that are known for handling money well were screaming, we've got to allow the states to have their state control over this because it's really clear what we need to do. Those from states like ours were arguing, yeah, but. And this is the yeah, buts that are coming in.
Right. So, well, let's take a look at that. It's interesting. I was talking to Ted Dabrowski from Our Points about this, and looking at the House and the Senate, the way we see them falling right now, without the fair tax passing on the in Illinois on the ballot, that they'll be looking to D.C. to get bailout money. And with the current structure that what we're looking at here, Democrats, Senate, Republicans in the House and Senate, you won't see bailout money coming to Illinois.
Oh, no. You won't see bailout money coming to five states. Let's say this, okay? If we pass the fourth COVID package, that money will be going to help small businesses, local governments, all of those type things that have truly been affected by COVID. But if the states believe that they're going to be able to shift that money over to bail out bad decisions for many years, it's very clear that five in particular states are not going to be able to do that. Because of bad handling of things like pensions and other things, you've got five states, New York, New Jersey, Rhode Island, California, and Illinois. Those are the ones that have put themselves through bad policy and bad spending habits and not good financial handling. Their fiscal responsibility is nil. Therefore, and they were in that situation long before this COVID outbreak. So, no. The answer is no. There probably won't be in that respect. There will be guidelines that they can't use it for that type of bailout. And let me tell you why. Because remember, that's only five states. Likewise, when we draft the language, how do you tell states that have handled their finances well that their legislators need to vote to bail out those people who have handled them poorly?
Right.
And you can't. Yeah, I mean, right. even if philosophically I thought, well, we should figure this out. The reality is that I'm one vote, and when you add up only five states of votes, even so many of those states are strong, they're not strong enough to offset that.